Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by the Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. They're awesome. They have 136 draft beers. They have a 50-foot TV. You can watch LSU play Louisville and the Heisman Trophy winner, Lamar Jackson, New Year's Eve at 10 a.m., right before all the college football playoff games start. You can stay there all day, get drunk, and then go out to your family party. Or
yeah, unfortunately, you probably need about 250 draft beers.
To survive.
For what the Saints. Yeah. After the Saints weekend.
The Saints laid two back-to-back stinking piles. But that's nothing the Pelican House can do. They're awesome anyway. They have an awesome late-night menu. They have everything awesome. The Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court. You should support them because they support us. All right. I'm going to say, I think I can make an argument that the last 2 weeks, Andrew, was the rock bottom of the Sean Payton era. In their two games that their season hung in the balance, Sean Payton called the plays, and they had 24 points and 6 turnovers and no touchdown passes, and they didn't score yesterday. And, I mean, it's about as bad as it can get. I mean, it's one thing to be bad, but they're, like, borderline unwatchable now. Like, I can't stomach this no touchdown 16-11 defensive slugfest bullshit. I really can't.
Yeah, it's amazing that, like, I guess the wheels have finally come off offensively. We've seldom seen this. I mean, it's rare. I mean, you can probably count on 10 fingers, two hands, the number of times in the last 11 years that this offense has sputtered like this, and we've seen back-to-back weeks of it now. It's the ultimate irony, and the ultimate kick in the balls for us as fans that the Saints defense finally gets it. And finally, you know, unbelievably, the two lowest point totals they've given up this year, 16 twice, they're 0-2 in those games.
Yeah, and they didn't
because of course.
They didn't have Vaccaro, and they didn't have Bro for much of the game, and they were still phenomenal.
Don't forget Robertson.
He was out too. Dave, if you look at this offense, what do you see that you're like that sticks out as the most obvious issue?
You were kind of ragging on Payton a little bit there to start the show, and I don't really know if I blame his play calling too much. Really and truly, I mean, you look at these two games. And what do they have in common? They've got, what, 3 interceptions each game by Breeze? I think if anybody is to shoulder the bulk of the blame here, I would say it's got to be Breeze. I mean, that's all of those interceptions, especially last week, are drive killers. I mean, there were a couple of times last week where the Saints were driving and they could have, you know, a touchdown would have changed momentum, would have obviously changed the score, they're not closing the deal like they used to, and I know that the announcers at least at one point had mentioned that Breeze wasn't really looking off his receivers and looking off the defenders.
He was terrible yesterday. And Andrew, what was worse? I counted, let's see, he missed Cooks on the touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
He missed
the one that Cooks dropped?
No, the one that Breeze just missed.
Okay.
He missed Willie Snead on a like a crossing route where Tampa Bay like totally like busted a coverage. I'm not saying Willie Snead would have scored, but he'd have been inside the 10. Like they totally busted that coverage, and he just missed Snead. And at the end of the game,
he missed Fleener in the end zone, didn't he? Wide open Fleener.
And on the third down, the Saints' last third down, Snead ran like a 10-yard pattern, and he was wide open, and Breeze just ignored him or just like, I'm not throwing to him, and to get the first down. So, I mean, who was worse yesterday, Andrew? Breeze or his receivers not helping him?
Yeah, there were a lot of drops. Snead had one right in his hands. I think Coleman had a couple, you know, balls that were poorly located that he couldn't come up with. And, I mean, it's definitely on Breeze. I mean, I think these last 2 weeks have been frustrating. And I think this game specifically, when you lose 16-11, a five-point game like that, and it comes down to, you know, the offense having three turnovers. I mean, really, all it would have taken was one of those turnovers to not happen. And that's probably enough for the Saints to win the game. You know, all that being said, he's not getting help. And the drops by Travaris Cadet and Brandon Cooks, both of those are probably enough to win the game. Just one of them, you know, is enough to make the difference between a win and a loss. You know, I said it, you know, when Cooks dropped that ball in the end zone, which was awesome. I mean, that's his routine. That's as a routine of a catch as you're ever going to get. You know, I said, that's it. That we're going to look back at that moment. And that's going to be the difference between the Saints having won or lost this game.
And the funny thing with not the Cooks drop, but the funny thing was, for the first time all year, the Saints were in a game and it wasn't their special teams that imploded. Tampa Bay's special teams imploded at the end of the half. I mean, they went screwed up kickoff, safety.
They went full on Saints.
They went full on Saints, and this it was like a gift wrap to like please be tied at half, and the Saints are like, eh. And worse than that, Andrew, the clock management at the end of the first half. I mean, it was like Les Miles and Andy Reid had a love child, and that love child was running the Saints clock management at the end of the gate at the end of the first half. I mean, that was abominable. They basically it was so bad. Instead of having three plays to score a touchdown, they had two. I mean, like
it's pathetic. Like the only way. I mean, when you're making that kind of money and you're playing the sport every Sunday and you're in the trenches, and there's just no way that you can make a mistake like that. It's unforgivable. It blows my mind at the end. And it's not, I mean, it's not just the Saints. I mean, it blows my mind how much this happens in college, in pros. Guys are paid millions of dollars. They can't get it right.
Here's the thing that was funny. Somebody said on Twitter, they're like, that's a weird decision to let that clock run. I'm like, that's a decision. Like me throwing up on my clothes is a wardrobe choice. That's not a decision. That's a fuck up. You know, I mean,
I think they had it in their mind that they were going to run the clock out and that, you know, there wasn't going to be any time left when Tampa got the ball back. So in other words, they wanted to end the half scoring so that Tampa didn't get a chance to go down and score. And I understand that. Like, I understand the thinking behind it, but you got to leave yourself at least enough time to play four downs. Like, that's the thing. Like, you can't get in a situation where you're kicking on third down. The Saints cost themselves taking one more shot at the end zone by having the time go all the way down to 13 seconds. And at the time, I was watching the game with my family, and I said, 13 seconds, like, they're going to get two plays here, two shots at the end zone, and then they're going to have to kick a field goal if they don't score. And that's exactly what happened. And so, you know, it's mistakes like that, especially in a five-point game. I mean, you look over the course of the season, how many games have come down to the final possession inside of 2 minutes? And this was the case again in this game.
There are three
and you just can't you
games.
Can't make mistakes like that. You can't do it.
Yeah. Dave, Jeff Fisher got fired, so Sean Payton is officially the coach that everybody will make fun of for going 7-9 repeatedly and not get fired. So how many 7-9 seasons does a Super Bowl trophy buy you?
If this was any other organization, like let's say this was the Cowboys, I'd say that talk about being on the hot seat would be reasonable and justified. But this is a team being run by the wife of a billionaire and the CFO. Actually, it's really being run by, I would say, Mickey Loomis and Peyton. I think that the two of them, Loomis and Peyton, have job security like nobody's business.
Andrew,
so yeah. we can talk about it all we want. We can talk about that they should be on the hot seat, but I just don't think they are.
No, they're not at least until the end of next year. But Andrew, what Benson sports team is in more of a disaster, the Pelicans or the Saints?
I would definitely say the Pelicans, because I still think the Saints are in a good position next year. Defense looks a little bit better. You know, finally we're starting to see the defense look good. There's going to be a lot of work this offseason for the Saints, but the good news is they have cap room. I think there's a chance for this team to give it one more shot to improve special teams. The defense is pointing upwards, so those are positives. Michael Thomas has obviously reignited this offense, and did they miss him this weekend. The Pelicans, like, I don't really see a path here.
They're a hopeless abyss of sadness.
They're saddled with these contracts with Tyreek Evans, who isn't even playing. They're saddled with this Ashik contract, the Ajinsa contract. They just signed two guys, Solomon Hill and Etuan Moore, who kind of suck, and they signed them to huge deals. And they've got this lame duck coach and this lame duck GM that are, I mean, terrible, maybe days away. Maybe days away from being fired. It's not going to be long here before Anthony Davis wants to be traded.
They're going
to
get fired the day after the Saints' final game.
Yeah,
that's
when Mickey Loomis will have the time to do it. Anthony Davis has been a good sport for a long time. We've talked about this, but like, you can see the frustration start to settle in. And it's not, I mean, we saw the same thing happen with Chris Paul. It's not going to be long now where he's just going to be like, fuck this. Yeah. I want to go somewhere else.
All right, back to the Saints. Dave, do the Saints have a running back?
Do you know why we should really be worried? We should really be worried about the offense. We should really be worried about the offense and where the offense is going and how it's going to be in the next few years, because the defense is finally getting their shit together.
And you can't have two at once.
You cannot.
Look, the offense has only scored 23.
I'm telling you right now, this is it. We are in the midst of the changing, you know, the flow.
Well, here's the thing, you know, the Saints, god awful special teams. You know, they were the main reasons when they dropped to Denver and they.
Well, that'll always be bad.
Well, no, that'll always be bad. But the point is, the Saints have. You know, we say their offense is great this year. It's great. It's potentially the best ever. But since the San Francisco game, they've scored over 23 points one time, and that's just. I mean, even with the defense as much as it's improved, like the Saints, if they'd have just scored like 27 points, they'd have won a bunch more games. You know, it's just.
I don't think I was as angry and upset about the Saints losing last week or yesterday on Sunday as everybody else seemed to be, but disappointing, of course. But I certainly think you have to give them the rest of the season and see what happens. It's very possible that they could, that everything could switch back to the way it was, and the offense is going to be awesome and the defense is going to be terrible. And that's been the MO of this team. They are a very inconsistent team, and you do not know what you're going to get on any Sunday. You don't know what you're going to get from the offense, and you don't know what you're going to get from the defense. We're only talking about a two game stretch here.
Well,
in the grand
scheme
of things, that's not a lot.
I feel like they were, Andrew, I felt like until these last 2 weeks, yeah, they were struggling and they hadn't won games and the special teams had sort of sunk them. But I felt like they were playing pretty good football. I mean, they lost to Denver.
I think that the clear difference for me is all these injuries on the offensive line are finally starting to take their toll.
The duck team
and I combine that with Drew Brees' play. Because you look at Detroit and Tampa both, they were able to rush with four, drop a bunch of guys in coverage. They were getting to Drew Brees. I mean, his first seven passes, he was hit four times. And I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Brady. That's going to rattle a quarterback, yeah. You know, when he's getting hit. And Brees is not a big guy. And if Gerald McCoy gets a free shot at him and he's drilling him, that's going to make him feel antsy and feel like he's got to get the ball out quicker. And, you know, the Saints have had musical chairs on the offensive line all year. Give them a lot of credit for coming up with protections and doing a good job of piecemealing it together. But now you've got Josh Hill and Hooman both out for the year. So you know, and that's an extension of pass protection.
Is it a case, Andrew, of the fun feel-good story of Zach Strief and Jarre Evans holding it together? And they really were a huge part of holding it together in the first half. Is it a case of the clock has kind of struck midnight on their 34-year-old bodies?
No, I think it's less about them and more just about the musical chairs of Teron Armstead, constantly shuffled in and out. Andres Pete going from left guard to left tackle to left guard to left tackle. In this game, they didn't even have Max Unger, who's arguably the best one and most consistent. Yeah. So you don't even have him. Now, I will say this is probably Streif's worst game of the year, and he's had the elbow issue, and he missed some practices.
Yeah, and the thing I forgot about it. Ayers for Tampa, that's like his kryptonite. He's like the kryptonite for Zach Strief of the speed rusher, even if they're good, mediocre, whatever. The speed rushers always give him trouble, and that's Ayers to a T.
I don't think there's any argument that Max Unger is the best offensive line.
Yeah, I think Strief has been good against speed rushers this year, and I mean, I'll give you that this was probably his worst game, but I just think it's, you look at the offensive line play these last 2 weeks and combine that with just the play calling, you know, where they completely abandon the run. It boils down to being down multiple scores early in the game. And then Sean Payton just feeling like we can't run the football, and so they just start throwing it.
Yeah, and I felt like yesterday they really should have stuck with it because it was – I mean, the Detroit game, you kind of had to abandon it at some point. But I felt like yesterday they should have – I felt like the defense was playing good, and I feel like they should have – I know they missed on Kuhn on the third down and short, but I just felt like a couple of those times in the second half, Andrew, where they had the third and one – that's the time where, I hate to use the cliche, but that's the time where you're just like, line up and run the ball two goddamn times and be like, look, if we can't run Tim Hightower or Ingram off tackle and get a yard, or Kuhn and get it, we don't deserve to win. And I just felt like with running the empty sets, they were kind of just like, well, we can't do it. There's nothing we can do. And it was just very annoying.
I like that voice.
And here's the thing.
Well, I mean, you know, another factor here is Ingram's toe. I mean, there's no question that his injury has made the Saints more reluctant to run the football. Well, and, I mean, that's another thing. Like, if you're not going to have faith in Hightower and roll with him, then you need to get new running backs.
Well, Andrew, that's a perfect segue into the next question on my podcast rundown. And I'll ask you, Dave, do the Saints need to revamp their running backs for 2017?
You know, I've always liked Mark Ingram.
5-11, Leonard Fournette, baby.
And when he
tank for Leonard.
And when Ingram's healthy, he does a good job. You know, but behind
him, he's
never
healthy. He's going to miss like three or four games a year every year.
That's true. But that's the nature of the position. I feel like I think.
So you have to go into a season assuming that.
Of course, and you've got to have depth. And so let's look at the depth. They've got Tim Hightower, who has shown flashes of brilliance, but at the same time, the guy is what? 30? Is he in his 30s? He's 32.
I feel like Hightower's your fourth back, though.
I don't feel like he's
your
number two. He's a warm and fuzzy story.
Yeah, you're talking about you don't a guy want who him is out of the game for
you don't want him as your number two back.
For two
and
years.
By the way, Tim Hightower, he tweeted that he doesn't play for money, and people that were saying that he was only running for his bonuses, that's not how he plays. But Tim, it's cool, man. You got to hit them bonuses, man. That's a lot of change for a guy that was out of football for 3 years. Nobody's begrudging you if you're running hard and you're working for them bonuses, man. No one's hating on you. You get paid. But I mean, Andrew. Andrew, fun scenario. Wang is probably listening to this, and he knows what I'm going to say. Saints go 6-10 or 5-11 or whatever. Leonard Fournette falls to him, and they're picking ninth. Do you take him? I know we have all off season to talk about it, but right now, would you take him?
This is such a tough question to ask me because, like, I mean, of course,
it depends on what Sean Payton's son says.
LSU, the LSU fan in me would be drooling at, you know, the opportunity to root for Leonard Fournette on Sundays in black and gold. I mean, it would be amazing, but
can he return kicks?
At the same time,
too?
It's just like why draft a guy that you're not going to use? Like, the Saints don't run the ball. You know, I feel like he would be wasted in New Orleans.
Six carries and he'll return kickoffs.
I mean, that would be the worst case scenario for Fournette.
It'd be like drafting Spiller.
Yeah.
So as we, you know, I mean, it's. I think the Saints, are they mathematically eliminated now?
Yes.
They are mathematically eliminated. So, Andrew, you and me are kind of in agreement on this. Is like, as long as there is a mathematical possibility of getting in the playoffs, you got to root for the Saints to win. But now it's done. So I say it's time to root for tanking with style. And tanking with style means it's a very competitive, very fun game, but the Saints choke it away at the end. The exhibit of choke of tanking with style is 2005 when the Saints lost to Detroit on Christmas Eve, when Detroit completed like a 50-yard pass and got the field goal unit on the field and kicked the last second field goal, and the Saints lost and finished 3-13 and picked second instead of finishing 4-12 and picking sixth. So that's what I'm for. I'm for a fun, enjoyable 3 hours the next three Sundays. Well, Saturday, one of them. But I want the Saints to be 5-11. Are we in agreement or no?
If they're not going to make the playoffs, what's the point? You might as well position yourself as best as possible in the draft.
I mean, you guys do realize that that's like they're not going to lose on purpose, right? Like,
we're
rooting for this, but like,
I don't expect the
like
Saints.
You can't get mad at them. You can't get mad at them and be like, why didn't you tank?
No,
yeah,
no,
I mean, they're professionals.
I don't. The rooting for the tanking and the actual tanking are two different things. I don't expect I don't expect the Saints to tank, but I can be perfectly fine if they happen to gag up a 10-point lead in Arizona on Sunday. Like, it won't bother me in the slightest. Like, I can separate.
I feel like I'm at that place where I'm like, if they lose, the draft pick's better, and if they win, I got an enjoyable Sunday out of it. So I'm kind of cool either way at this point. I mean, any win, any like terrific performance from them at this point, would definitely feel a little bittersweet. I mean, it would feel like one of those, like, great, too little, too late. But, you know,
the only reason I've always said, Ralph, and
I still feel the same about this. I don't really care where they draft. Like, to me, like,
it's over.
If they pick fourth or eighth or ninth, like, I just, like, I believe that with every slot, in every draft, in every round, there's the ability, if you do your research and you get the right guys and you get the right fit and you do your homework, that you can draft good players. And I don't think drafting one guy, and because, you know, when people are rooting for draft picks, they're not really rooting for where you're slotted in the second, third, fourth round. It's really all about where you're slotted in the first round. That's what people are rooting for. They're rooting to lose to get as high as possible in the first round. And I just feel like that promises you nothing, and it's a game where 11 guys are on the field at a time, and you know, one superstar. I mean, what has one superstar done for the Pelicans or LSU? LSU basketball? Like, think about the superstar power those three teams have had and what that's done for those teams. So I would rather just a really sound top-to-bottom draft, and I really don't care if it's fourth or ninth overall.
Kevin, have you joined us?
I've been sitting here for the last 20-some-odd minutes.
Just jump in, asshole. I mean, you're the one that wasn't. I mean, that's
idiot.
Just jump in and be like, dude, I'm here. You know? Sorry
I didn't want to be rude.
I thought he was just... I thought we were just going to hear his voice and realize he'd put himself on mute for 20 minutes.
No!
So, Kevin.
All right, Kevin, go back to being quiet.
Okay.
So, Kevin, Jeff Fisher got fired, of course.
Yeah, it was tremendous. Everybody had a big laugh about it up here. And, of course, you know, some of the dipshit sports guys on sports radio are saying, oh, well, L.A., they're impatient. They can be mean. In St. Louis, we're patient and we're nice. It's like, get over yourselves, you shithead. You're just like, quit being all about St. Louis is this great place. Just fucking laugh at how terrible and shitty the Rams are, like everybody else is.
But here's the question, Kevin. Jeff Fisher was the Teflon coach. He was never going to get fired ever. And Atlanta skull dragged the Rams and got him fired. Is Atlanta getting Jeff Fisher fired? I think it's on par an accomplishment as their Super Bowl loss to Denver. I think they should probably have a banner that we got Jeff Fisher fired. Like, it's got to be like
I think that would be nice. I think maybe at the least get some special crystal stemware that they hand out to the players. At the end of the year.
But here's my question about, and we were talking about tanking, and I'll start with you, Kevin, then we'll go around the horn. If the Saints-Atlanta game means Atlanta wins the South if they win, or if they lose, Tampa wins the South, then the Saints have got to win that game, right? We got to root for the Saints. Tanking is off the table then, right?
Yeah, I would be in favor of that. If for somehow it would keep them from the playoffs, and I don't know if that's possible, maybe if the Giants keep winning, I don't know. But if the loss would somehow keep Atlanta out of the playoffs altogether, then absolutely you root for the Saints. If the loss would keep the Falcons from getting a 2 seed, then I say you go for it. Otherwise, I think Nah, screw it. Win. I can't. Yeah. Here's the thing. I can't root against the Saints or root to see them lose that game. These other two games, yes. The game against Atlanta, no.
Yeah, I agree. There is no scenario where I would be okay with the Saints losing that last game to the Falcons.
It would be
none.
It would be really.
I don't care if they've benched every single player and it's not even a real game because Matt Ryan's not playing or whatever. There is no scenario where I'm okay with the Saints losing that game.
You know, Atlanta could still make the playoffs and not win the division. So even if the Saints beating Atlanta wouldn't knock them out the playoffs, if the Saints winning the game would be the last time Atlanta would play in the Georgia Dome. Like, let's say if they win, they're the 4 seed. If they lose, they're the 6 seed. How sweet a win would that be if the Saints would win the last game in the Georgia Dome, but Atlanta would still make the playoffs?
Well, I mean, obviously it'd be better if it knocks Atlanta completely out of the playoffs, but regardless, still beating them in the last game in the Georgia Dome, I mean, that's really the only thing.
That's the Super Bowl.
Yeah, there's nothing left about this season that's going to get you as excited as that. And I mean, remember last year. Remember how they beat Atlanta last year with the field goal.
Marcus Sanford, baby. Critical.
Yeah, oh, yeah,
critical,
that's right, the interception.
Critical interception.
I mean, that was awesome. And really and truly, it looks like we're heading down that same exact path.
So...
Hopefully.
I mean, we have a ton of Twitter questions. I also asked people to describe the Saints season in 5 words,
I like some of those responses. They were good.
They were. I'm going to read them. But remember to people, donate if you can. We still need to pay a little bit of bills for 2017. Any donation is warranted. Jim, Carla, and I can't pronounce his name.
Give it a shot.
Oh boy, it starts with a Z.
It starts with a Z. All donated this week. Thanks,
already, this
guys.
Isn't
going to
go
it's
well.
It's going to go.
Wait, like, you didn't even try. You didn't even try.
It's like Zamora.
How do you spell it?
Like, how
spell
was
it. Spell it.
Zamunda. That's close enough.
How do you spell it?
I don't have that email account up. Pulled up. So here's I thought I wanted to remind a donation because Carl, not Carl, he's a big fan. He donated a couple weeks ago. His Saints in Five Words was swirling around the toilet bowl. Kevin, can hypnosis convince Peyton he's always playing Greg Williams?
I would be interested in trying that just to be sure. I am perfectly, I'm fine with that.
I'm kind of disappointed Greg Williams didn't get the interim head coaching job for the Rams.
Oh, man. They play on Thursday, man, and they shit-canned Jeff Fisher today. This is from JP. Dave, first-round pick on a kicker or a safety?
Safety.
This is five words from Darth Saint. Cook's open mouth sinks ship. Reichert says offense must improve.
I like that one.
Offense must improve its tackling. Different phase sucks each week. Andrew, this is from this is from Don Tanaka ho ho ho. with Drew Brees beginning to decline, should the Saints take a look at Tony Romo in free agency? Don, are you doing coke? Like, seriously,
that's a troll question, right?
It is.
It's gotta be.
But I mean,
clown question, bro.
But I mean, you know what though? Tony Romo next week when Dak Prescott is if he stinks again, Tony Romo needs to just warm up just to troll all of America.
There's some guy on Twitter that came at me today and was and said, you know, I've been saying this about Drew Brees even when they were winning and definitely when they're losing, the dude's just limited and he sucks. And I just wrote the guy back and I said, look, man, if you're not happy with Brees' play when he was at his best, like you should never watch sports again.
Yeah, that's like the LSU people.
Seriously.
It's like the LSU people that come out, they're like, you know what? After Les Miles gets fired 10 years later, like, I always knew that Les Miles was going to be a failure. I always knew it. I'm like, dude, he won a national title. He played for another one. He won 3 SEC West. Yeah, you – okay. All right, you win.
Yeah. Like, if you're so hell-bent on harping on the negative – I mean, and yes, Brees does have some shortcomings in his game. But if, you know, Pro Bowls and – yardage records and accuracy records and a Super Bowl title and a Super Bowl MVP. Like if that's not good enough to make you happy, you should stop watching sports.
Just get it over with. That was from Flowers Wallace. The Todd Newberg surprise. Our defense doesn't suck. I like this one. Peyton,
well, it still kind of sucks though, right?
Yeah. Peyton now,
I mean,
you're
still like 20. It's still like 24th. I think like we're a little fooled here by, you know, the Saints being like whatever they are, 25th in the league.
24th.
They still kind of suck. They're just not the worst ever.
They're 24th in yards.
That's what we wanted though at the beginning of the season. That's what we said.
They're 12th. Yeah. They're 12th in rushing yards allowed. And that's what
that's
think.
That's damn good.
I think that's, Andrew, I think that's what gives them a chance every week. Because at least if you can stop the run, they can get into third. They can force teams into third and medium. Yeah, their secondary sucks. And, yeah, their pass rush, it comes and goes. But at least it gives them a shot. I like paid Kobe Fleener to suck. let's see.
Kobe Fleener, man. He sucks.
Those hands, man.
Kevin, what wrestler best describes 2016? That's from Joe.
Oh, Kevin muted himself here.
Yeah.
What wrestler best describes like the 26 if we're talking the entire if we're talking like the 2016 year its entirety.
Yeah. I would assume that's what he means.
Like not just football.
Well,
what
I guess
we're looking for here, Kevin, is a wrestler that has like one amazing skill that like you think he should be way better than he is because he has like this flamboyant, exciting skill, but he just finds a way to lose all the time because he's really not that good.
Huh. Shoot.
Who is that guy? Disco whatever? Disco,
Disco Inferno?
Yeah. He was like he was like Intercontinental Champion, wasn't he?
No,
One, Two, Three Kid?
Disco Inferno was never Intercontinental Champion because I don't think he was ever in the WWF. He was in WCW. I think he won the television title.
Yeah, that's
he won
what
the television title.
Yeah, the television title. That's what.
Maybe you should just go with Sean Orleans.
Shut up.
Hashtag dad bod.
Oh, Lord.
I'm starting a revolution here, folks.
You are. So that ends the questions. Thanks for everybody, and thanks for playing along with Saint Season in Five Words. All right, the Saints play Arizona. I think Arizona's like still alive because they have the tie. They're like 5-7-1. They're like the worst.
Barry Horowitz.
Barry Horowitz. So I'll start with you, Andrew. Arizona is a 2.5-point favorite. Who you got? What you got? Do you even give a shit?
No. Whatever. 24-17 cards.
Oh, shit.
Breeze is going to throw a couple more picks.
Oh, my God. Jeez. Oof. It's just because, why? Because the offensive line's just not fixable at this point?
Yep. Unger's going to miss another game, and Tim Alito's going to snap one over his head.
The Arizona defense is pretty good. Their offensive line is awful, Arizona, so the Saints could maybe do some business. So
I kind of feel bad for Cam Jordan, man. Like, he's had such an amazing season, and I feel like he's not going to get double-digit sacks, and people are going to be like, oh, yeah, he sucks. We're paying him all this money. And you know, I hate that like, fans equate a guy's worth to just purely how many sacks does he have, especially when he's a defensive end. And that's kind of unfair to Jordan.
And he's got a sprained knee.
He's been so good.
And he's killing it.
Yeah.
Dave, yeah. Who you got?
I'm certain that the Saints are going to win this game handily. just because that's not what you expect. And that's also going to that's the opposite of tanking. So yeah. I'm going to say the offense is good again, and looks like it always does. And the defense though is going to also
for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and the defense is going to also start sucking again. So I'm going to say. I'm going to say Saints 38, Cardinals 35.
Ooh, that's fun, though. I like that.
Don't forget, last year when we played in Arizona, Carson Palmer lit them up.
Yeah.
Well, that was a Cardinals team that went all the way to...
And they were 13 and 3, and they are nowhere near that good. So...
the player of the game is going to be Drew Brees. He's going to have like one of his ridiculous stat lines. He's going to have like four touchdowns, you know, 73% completion, no interceptions, 420 yards.
Kevin, who you got?
Let's see. Hang on. All right, I'm going to take the Cardinals. I'm going to say 27-23.
Again, that could be entertaining. I like to
say 27-23, I think Breeze will... I think there'll be a tipped interception for Breeze, and then there'll be an interception like late in the fourth quarter that kind of just... mostly ices the game. Let's see. Are you asking for a goat or what?
A goat, if you pick the Saints to lose, obviously.
Yeah.
We only do this every week, Kevin.
Let's see. I want to say Sean Payton's play calling.
That's a hey, man. It's your world,
man. I'll go with that.
Sean Payton's play call. You know, Arizona's special teams are kind of atrocious. They had a kick returned yesterday for a two-point conversion. And
hold my beer, says the Saints special teams.
That's right, hold my beer. I'm going to say 30.
I'm going in.
I'm going to say 35-34 Arizona. The Saints are going to start.
That's kind of on par with my.
Yeah. The Saints are going to start out like a house of fire and be up 20 to nothing, but they're going to get an extra point blocked. And you're just going to be like, whatever, it's 20 to nothing. But in the second half, Arizona is going to figure out how to stop the Saints' pass rush. And they're going to be like, oh, yeah, if we can block the Saints, they don't have any corners and Kenny Vaccaro is suspended. And they're just going to start coming back like a house of fire. And the Saints are going to end up losing 35-34. And we're going to be like, fucking Lutz, you got a extra point blocked. But we won't. But they'll be 5-9, so we won't really care. We'll care for like 5 seconds, and then we'll be over it. So I'm going to go 35-34 Arizona. Your go to the game is Will Lutz. So there. So we're all in unanimous agreement. The Saints. Well, no, Dave said they're going to win. So
no, we're not.
So we're not in unanimous agreement. So Dave,
by the way, how do you feel?
I don't know.
Dave, by the way, how do you feel about Dave, how do you feel about the Saints game getting flexed?
Oh yeah.
Against the Bucks.
Ooh, we almost forgot about
talking
about this.
My mom is in a rage.
I was also
detonated her Christmas plans.
I was also enraged. I got the alert on my phone. And, oh shit, I think my daughter's throwing up in bed, so I'm going to make this quick and then I'm going to have to go.
All right.
I was enraged when I got the alert on my phone. 12 o'clock was okay. I mean, I'm not crazy about a game on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, but it is what it's got to be. And 12 o'clock was okay. I was going to take my dad to the game, maybe leave a little bit early to go to 4 o'clock mass with the family and then have dinner. But when you make the game fucking 3:30, and I'm mad at the NFL, not the Saints. When you make the fucking game 3:30, then that just makes it unattendable. You know, I can't miss mass with the family. And even if I could miss mass, I can't get home at 7:30 after dinner and your entire family and your parents and your in-laws and everybody has eaten. So it's just frustrating. Obviously, they flexed the game because
of... That kind of sounds amazing for me.
I mean, it's perfect.
It's perfect. I got to go to the game, baby. Yeah. I got to go. We can't let these tickets go to waste. We got to go.
I mean, obviously, they did this because of the Buccaneers. This had nothing to do with the Saints. Like, it only had to do with the Saints because they play in the same division. But they're not flexing this because people want to watch the Saints. I may have to miss... For the first time
in 12 years.
In like 12, 13 years. A Saints home game. And that includes London when they were technically the home team. That includes the games in Baton Rouge. That includes the
game. Wait, you went to London?
Yes, that includes the game in Giant Stadium after Katrina. The only thing it doesn't include are the San Antonio games. But so thanks to them fucking flexing this goddamn
2005 never happened.
My streak may come to an end. All right, I gotta go. My daughter's throwing up. Bye.
My son was puking this morning. This is a party.
Andrew, in regards to that Christmas Eve game at 3:35, what are the odds that you could fire a cannon in the terrace and not hit anybody? I mean, I'm thinking it's pretty high. I mean, because they're going to be.
I'm going to leave that question just laying there.
I think that question is strong enough to stand on its own without an answer.
You should seriously tweet that question out as a poll on the podcast Twitter. Leave the poll open for a week. See if you can see how many people can respond.
I will. I'll do it on my Twitter and then retweet it to the podcast one, because the podcast one,
yeah.
That's like 600. That's a great idea, Kevin.
If I'm the only guy left, maybe I can convince the concessions people to keep the beer sales going in the fourth quarter.
You're gonna need it. So that about wraps it up for the show. So sorry, Kevin, that you were like a third grader in your seat going, pick me, and we didn't.
That's okay. No, I'm fine.
So
I'm just out.
So for Dave, for Andrew, for Kevin, until next week, the bar is closed.